Que vaina fue. Que llegamos. Tom, how's it going? Katie, why are you?
Good morning, sir.
How's it meeting? Did I lose you?
Oh, I didn't get that. Try again. I'm not sure if it's me or you.
Oh, it's probably me.
KCKJO, let's try that again. Monitoring statewide one.
NHAP. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Joe. I heard Dave out there, too, but I think he might be in a sketchy area.
Yeah, I heard that. Sounded like he's having a little bit of issue and an echo coming through with him. So where are you off to this morning? I'm just doing my normal drive to work, like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I'm going to work, too. Grand Rapids today.
Hopefully you'll get some sunshine today. Dancing through the raindrops as usual.
Yeah, but at least it's a little bit warmer and it's humid. So, still a little bit of, I don't want to say chill, but coolness, I guess you could say, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too. I'd rather not have the snow in 2 degrees. I think with this amount of rain, I could stand and watch my grass grow right in front of my very eyes. I haven't even cut it yet this year, and it's already already looks like it needs to be cut 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, my wife is drooling on getting her lawnmower started and going out there and mowing it.
Guessing you probably have more grass than I do. I don't think my wife even knows how to turn my lawnmower on.
No, she likes cutting the grass. I, not as much. I used to, but just my allergies can't handle it. So that's her quote-unquote cardio, as she says.
Oh, that's a good deal. My son's 9, so I'm just waiting for him to be old enough to push the mower a little bit, then he'll take over those duties. So count the days for that, but yeah. Cool. All right, man. Well, what else going on? Anything going on the meeting tonight?
Yeah, I should be there. Like I said, I got Grand Rapids, and I got Belding, and then I got one in Okemos. So, I might not be there on time, but I'll be there.
All right. Sounds like we have opposite problems. I have time to kill. I won't leave the office until 4:30. And the meeting is a quarter mile away from my office, so I'm usually trying to find something to kill time. If we get a haircut or go. Get some carry out somewhere or something, I guess.
Well, there you go. Get carry out for the kids. Go and feed them up. Throw some food in your gut. And then jump over to the meeting.
Yeah, it's usually just me solo, honestly, because I don't want to drive all the way back to New Baltimore, sit there for a half an hour, and try to drive all the way back. So I just, like I said, just I was trying to kill some time. But, They'll be fine. The wife will take care of them for the next night.
Well, you can get a hold of Tim, and he usually gets there early. And usually if I'm there early, we meet up at National Coney Island and get chicken fingers and a coffee. And then we go to the meeting.
Well, maybe I'll take you up on that. That sounds nicer than randomly wandering around Meijer. yeah, maybe I'll try and get a hold of you guys a little bit later today.
Yeah, me or Tim. You know, he's either on DMR or he's on, he's on all the other radios like I am. So, yeah, give him a jingle when you're done with work and see if he wants to meet up. He's always up for it.
All right. I'll do that a little bit later. But let me say 7-3 for now. I'm turning down the street here towards the township building here. So I will say 7-3 to you. Have a wonderful day. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you later. And it ain't safe.
All right, stay safe, drive safe. Stay dry. 7-3, KTKGO.
What's up, old man?
Oh, today is my West Side day, so any out to Grand Rapids. I said Belding and what is it? Oh, Okemos. Hopefully it's a short and easy day.
Very good, WABD. Yeah, I just heard, so you're going to make it tonight? Tonight's the meeting, I believe.
Yeah, I should be there. I might be a little bit late, but I should be there. Unless something catastrophic happens somewhere on my way back, which I'm not anticipating any issues with any other customers.
I could call you in and tell you my alarm doesn't work. Mess your day up.
Well, then I have to drive all the way to your office and say, oh, you need to replace your battery.
Yeah, because we don't do that kind of stuff, you know that. And probably a lot of your other customers don't do that stuff, too. That, and we got the antiquated alarm pad.
Well, it's not the Neo, but it's still a pretty decent control that you got the DSC.
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, what got me is how we got away with not having fire sensors on that thing. That's what really got me going. Well, how do we pull that off?
Grandfathered in when you got the building? We got sprinklers or no?
We got the standpipe. They made us put the standpipe in there. So we have all the pre-stuff. The big 8-10-inch fire hydrant coming out of the ground in the middle of the building. And all the sensors and stuff all sitting there. They're not hooked up, but we do have the standpipe. You know, my guess is in case it's ever sold, whoever the next person is would have to do that, or we would have to do it to sell the building.
Yeah, but okay, so you got the pipe. Does it go up and then go across the building? You got all the sprinkler heads and everything?
You know, it just goes up and stops. It goes up about 4 feet, and then there's a cap on it.
Oh, then you're probably good. I mean, it's just, you know, it's capped off, but it's there for the potential of other businesses, more or less, you know, what the NFPA requires are, what is it, Chesterfield, New Baltimore, Lenox Township, whatever they require. So you're probably within code. I don't worry too much about it.
No, we're IRA, believe it or not. That little corner of the world is the end of the rope for IRA, which is good. That's a good team. We're happy with them. They've been out there a couple times. They had a beam collapse when we were putting up the addition, and one of the worker guys got hurt, and they were out there pretty quick.
Well, there you go. But you don't have any, like, hazardous chemicals or anything else like that. So if it burns, it burns. The building burns down. Blah, blah, blah.
Can you still hear me good? I kicked it down to 5 watts.
Yeah, you sound good.
I've been blasting a lot of power, and I'm starting to realize I don't need to. I've got not too bad of a stick outside, so. And I've been playing around with my All-Star node, and I've got it to ignore everything except one particular tone. So if I accidentally hook it up, it won't react. So I think I've got it figured out.
Mine just sits on the TV stand and the, you know, the radio's behind the TV, right next to my open spot. And, sometimes if I have too much power going off my HD, because I keep forgetting to turn down the power, I can hear it through myself, you know, for the stereo. So I got to turn that off. That's about to the extent of it.
Yeah, well, see, I hooked mine up to my XPR, so I have an outside antenna, so, and then it set the radio for, like, 2 watts or 1 watt, I don't know, whatever. And, like, the blue box lights up, which is cool, like, when you're talking back to me on digital, but it's expecting a PL tone also, so, which is really cool. Yeah, so that way I don't have any accidents. I've got it working one way. I just got to make sure if it works the other way. So if somebody, let's say I left the node on FBI and I left the radio on this channel, will the radio also ignore the carrier coming in to the radio? That's the next feed I got. Once I got that figured out, I got this thing mastered, so I won't have any hiccups. So that's what I was trying to do a couple, 3 weeks ago, and I messed up, and it hurt something. So now it has to have a carrier and a PL. So, and the PL has to match. So, like right now, we're digital, so there's no PL tone, so the software ignores it. So it's pretty cool. It really is amazing how well this stuff is written and how deep it is.
So you connect to your XPR from your vehicle or from somewhere else, if you're close, and depending on if you're using a PL or a digital, it decides if it's going to go through the Elster node or through the DMR?
No, it won't go through the All-Star node unless it matches the PL tone. And I gave it a weird PL tone, you know, not too far out of the realm, you know. And so if it doesn't have the PL tone, it ignores everything from the XPR. So if I accidentally leave it on, walk away, it won't transmit, it won't receive. But if I put it on the All-Star channel, on the XPR, then it works on the outside antenna as a really, really, really low-grade repeater. Basically, I kicked it down so low it only covers the subdivision.
Gotcha. Oh, next time I'm around the area, I got to check it out.
Yeah. Well, I've got it mastered now, so if you need to do it too, you know, I can show you how to do it. You could have your own little hub in Memphis. All right, I got to get out of here, bud. I'm doing the company meeting today, so I'm not too worried about it. The meetings will continue till the morale improves. That's today's headline of the meeting.
Well, I have fun with that. All right, I'll cut you loose. Talk to you soon. I'll be getting out during the day. 73, KJO.
You drive safe.
WHT listening. KCAKJO from KEAWUO.
NAWRO. John, is that you?
That's affirmative. How's Tim doing today?
Not too bad. Just working on that mic on stuff and mixing out. Go out to lunch and maybe stop at Kroger's to get a few supplies. How about you? Thinking about lunch break on a work day here?
Yeah, we're getting there. I spent a couple hours with Tom last night trying to get his phone provisioned, and we got that all worked out. There was an issue where he had changed his VoIP password, and he didn't remember that he had done that. So I was checking all of my, code and trying to scratch my head as to why nothing was working. But eventually I reached out to Hoyt and we got the answer. And so I was going to let him know he should be all set. I did... Take a look at your message for the MyCon. I have to finish reading it, but looks like you've been busy.
Yeah, I keep on deleting what's on Discord and then putting the new version on it. It's like the third version I did. So the bottom line is, it looks like we want the UMP as our default MyCon, and operator's choice. In other words, I did not understand this before, but if I use DMR, MyCon receives it fine, not a problem. But if, for example, our net control is monitoring the UMP, they will not hear my communications. So I did not know that. I thought they were all connected. Apparently, that is not true.
Yeah, it was a little interesting last night, during that net. I had a feeling, a suspicion that something was up because I was consistently hearing only half of the conversation, and I was monitoring the UMP, and I heard MyCon repeat, copy that, McComb, we have you as condition green. And it was weird because I never heard you call in for condition green, but I did hear them say that. So, That was interesting, and that does create a little bit of a, you know, just a little bit of confusion and a little bit of a, you know, nuance to it all. But yeah, that is helpful to know how that works. Did we have any word on our hot wash on that the other day? I know we had talked about potentially doing one, but maybe we don't do it and just try to do better next time.
My understanding is Dave still would like to do an after action debrief on that, but I do not know when that will be. I imagine it might be based on Jeff's availability. And, you know, even if it's just on the Hoyt Bridge or something like that, that'd be fine. What was the other thing I did on that? Yeah, so that's not a problem. I can reach the UMP from here on my base, so not an issue. So if we're going to default to that, that's fine. And then just the other thing to clarify, checking out, should our net end prior to MyCon ending, which really makes sense because we're supposed to be reporting change of status of our net anyways. So in retrospect, I should have checked out, advised MyCon that our net has ended and that in turn I am checking out of their net. And so
we'll
fix it. We'll make it better next time. N8WRO back over to KE8WUO.
Yeah, that was a little bit of an interesting one because I wasn't, you know, I heard them calling for us to check out, but I was already, you know, checked out for the night, so to speak. And then I was like, well, I think I remember hearing that Tim said he would, you know, check us out. And I know you were the key station. I have no MyCon training, and I don't even know if I was to call in and say, yeah, we're checking out, if that would be accepted. And so that's kind of one of the things I wanted to ask, because there is a potential that you'll be running MyCon and everything will be going fine, and then all of a sudden you lose power. And so we almost need like a backup MyCon, and we didn't have one. And I'm just not sure what that procedure would be or what that would look like, or, you know, how, you know, I would be able to help if I should help, you know. It's kind of an interesting nuance as well. But yeah, I think that we learned a bit, so that was always good. And I think we'll continue to do so.
WRFU.
Good morning, Sean. I think we found the answer out to that question. It is not the same, so we're going to default to the UMP. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if you, I did bring it up over in the FBI Discord and got the expert's advice on that. Did you follow that, any of that? I was assuming that you did. That's why I brought it up.
I think you're talking to me. I basically, you know, I gather that they're not linked. I saw you ask the question, but I never saw the response. I'm going to look right now. I spent a considerable amount of time last night with Tom, so I didn't look at everything. But my question is still, you know, like, what do we do for a backup MyCon, you know, if Tim loses power, you know? That's more of what I was asking. I do get the impression, you know, that the UMP and DMR are not linked, but listening to both. But I'll send it back to Sean and then over to Tim and then back to me. KEAWUO.
Okay, yeah, it was over in FBI in general, and I deliberately rustled up the conversation. I told Tim I would find out, and I'm assuming both you guys are members there, so I was assuming that you would have got a look at it. Tim?
N-A-W-R-O. I did not see it previously, Sean, but thank you for that, and I'm there now, so I'm going to read it. And that kind of settles it. And I'm changing the policy accordingly, so I posted that on Discord. Both you guys will be able to see that. I've got Jeff looking at it too, our Jeff, to see if he's good with it. And John, to answer your question, it's the EC, Jeff, myself, Dave Sr., and Wally, for now, are the ones that are MyCon approved. So to answer your question, it'd have to be off that list unless Dave updates it. He just sent that to Jackie at the NWS so that she can clear us for MyCon. So there you go. Over to John.
All right. Well, I guess if I hear MyCon trying to reach out to McComb and not getting a response, I will ignore it. As weird as that sounds, but I understand, and I suppose it makes sense. But I guess, you know, as far as procedure goes, you know, I do think there should be a backup MyCon person. So if we're activated and, you know, Tim is running, then that, yeah, it's MyCon, key station, you know, if Tim loses power and everybody else is sleeping, you know, that's not going to work. So I don't know. It's not my hill to die on, so I will leave it be and let you guys figure it out. Over to Sean, K-E-A-W-U-O.
Okay, no, I guess it was yesterday at about 4:30 in the general category. There's been a little chit chat. You know, we don't do anything simple there. It's like, you know, serious, and then, you know, and then we're making jokes about the movie Airplane, you know, all while we're being serious. And you know, so it's you got to sift through a little bit, but you'll see it's all pretty much laid out there. And at one point, I actually asked Fred for a modus operandi. We're dealing with, you know, working with MyCon. He kind of spells it out there. So everything you should need is in that thread. All right, I'll let you guys get back to it. And I think for the after action, I think I heard Daisy say about he wanted to get like a church setting, and he's going to get some glass broken, and then everybody could you know, kneel on that while they were flowing.
Hilarious! I love it. Yeah, and thanks for that, Sean. I found the beginning of the thread, so I'll read through it. That's going to be very helpful. And, yeah, John, you know, Jeff has done MyCon dual business. Like, so if he's running the net, he can assume MyCon as well, and he's done it a lot. So, and then also I'm not, you know, and Mike, when we do the after action, let's discuss that in the at this point, highly unlikely event that this will occur again, you could probably just assist. You know, you could go ahead and transmit and say, hey, listen, just assisting. I'm an AEC at McComb, and I know for a fact that the, how many we got, 5, 6 of my kind of crew stations are offline now, and I just want to let you know our net's closed and we're offline. Whatever. I'm sure it's not going to be a problem, but over to you, John. Thanks again, Sean.
All right. Yeah, Sean, so I did find the text starting at 4:30 p.m., and I'm going to scroll through that shortly here. And I am looking forward to my vlogging while kneeling on glass. That sounds great. And, yeah, Tim, you bring up a good point about, you know, Jeff being able to pick up, you know, and run the MyCon station, you know, as backup. And like you said, he can do both, and he's been doing both. So we do have that as an opportunity. So, well, very good. All right. Well, now I need to get all this other stuff done for the set. So, what's new and exciting other than that, Tim? Anything good?
Well, you spoke of the set there. I told Sean before, I got a new mobile antenna, a Pulse Larsen. Supposed to be one of the better ones, so we'll see if that works. I was having trouble with doing the VHF and the mobile I actually have the two radios in there, so I've got a diamond as well. That's working fine, but I needed a secondary antenna, which I guess this is now my primary antenna. It's still a mag mount, but it's Pulse Larsen mag mount, NMO, which is a little bit better. It's still relatively small, so if I back up slowly and it has a spring, I can get into my garage without removing it. So I'm looking forward to testing that. Not sure if Sean's out or not. Leave a spot.
Oh, I'm listening in case there's anything pertinent, but you guys carry on. I'm trying to get a hold of my son here and see him, talk to him. I've been going down to Mexican town for lunch. So I've been text bombing him. All right, you guys carry on. I'll be listening, though. So don't talk bad about me. WAFU.
So that Sean guy is always going to these hoity-toity restaurants. no, just kidding. But yeah, you told me about that antenna you were getting as well, and I went to their website and I was checking out some of the stuff they have, and Pulse Larsen does look to be a pretty decent, pretty good company. They have a few of the things that I bought from BX Engineering. That those are the NMO mounts. I got some NMO mounts from BX Engineering, and the coax is no thicker than a coat hanger, and I was a little disappointed, like a metal coat hanger, not even, you know, a plastic one. You know, I was pretty disappointed in the quality of the coax, because it's like, man, this thing's going to kink. But at the same time, like, I get it, because it's going in the head panels or whatever, the overhead bin, but I would have liked to see it a little thicker, but I don't know, maybe that's just common practice because it's going in a tight spot. But from what I understood, you know, VHF, UHF, I think you should have a thicker cable. So I didn't know how that works, probably why I fried my APX, but who knows. But yeah, I'm excited for you. That'll be fun. I got to get that ball going on the new car and get a mobile in there, and that'll be cool. But if you need any help testing, you know, I can monitor and jump on Hoyp and get on the W8MAC or the FBI and say hello to you.
NHWRO, yeah, appreciate it, John, but we probably can handle that, well, maybe today, right? Our meeting is today, right? So usually en route or out of the meeting is a good little mobile test. Yeah, I got to kind of plan my day here because I got to think about that if I'm doing a Kroger trip. So probably got one more in me. Back over to you, John.
All right, sounds good. Well, I don't want to keep you. I should probably get a little bit of work done here myself so that I can get out of here in time to go to the meeting. So I look forward to that. I missed the last meeting, and I don't know how, but this one came up so quick. So I'm glad to be going to this one. It was disappointing to miss the last one, so. It'll be cool to see all the guys again and get in there. I got to get a little something ready too, because we had the issues with check-ins that we have to address, and I kind of want to write something down so I'm not ad-libbing as much as I. You know, I'm not very, very good at that, so I gotta come up with something to touch base on the check-ins, see if we can't streamline that. But I'll send it back over to you, and I think I'll be clear on your final. This is KE8WUO.
Sounds good, John. Looking forward to the meeting myself. I'll see you over at the MISD. I'll come a little early, set up the back table for sign-offs as usual. So, talk to you then. November 8, Whiskey, Romeo, Oscar. I will be clear.
MXG testing an earphone mic.
KE8WUO. The mic sounds great.
I in the midst of discovering that the ICOM Mike's remote and everything don't have the same two pins as the Kenwood and the Chinese bail thing. So I'm fooling around. Thanks for the reply, KC8MXG. There with you.
All right. Well, I'll be here if you need any more signal reports or whatever, but sounds good on my side.
KFA CYO test. Test 1-2. Test. KFA CYO test clear.
Yes, ANC. But this is KC8MXG. KFA CYO, that's a good test.
Thank you. I appreciate it. They're all on the monitor.
Broke up. I heard you in parts of it. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm not in the best spot for this portable. I just wanted to see if I had all the right numbers. Check that out.
Repeater or your radio or something's clipping. There's people out here that are smarter than me that if they were listening, they'd probably be able to tell you something. Plus, they bring it up on their screens and they'll wish I could help you more. KC8MXG, clear.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. KFA-CYO, clear.
N1WHT. Listening.
KFA does testing.
KFA does. KIA. Sounding good.
Thank you very much. How is my audio? I just adjusted my gain settings.
Well, sounds good here. It sounds real good. A little bit hot maybe, but not bad at all. It's nice and robust.
All right, thank you very much. KFA-DES.
Hi, KFA-DES. This is KIA. Standing by and listening.
KE8FCR, statewide one, mobile.
N8BBL.
KFA-DES.
Good afternoon. How's your rainy afternoon going?
Yeah, it's all right. I'm over here at BJ's, just got in the car. All the bad weather's going off to the lake.
Oh, I'm in simplex range with you. I just left the office.
I attempted to adjust the mic gain on this thing. Am I a little bit better than I was before?
Yeah, I had my radio cranked up from this morning, but you sound fine now that I turned it down.
Yeah, it's hard to get it because everybody's all over the place. And, you know, when they designed the DMR protocol, they should have, designed it with some tolerances to the gains, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's up to the radio. I'm not sure what the thought is about that.
Yeah, I don't know. That I definitely don't know. I just have this one set to auto pretty much everything, and I think it's been okay. No one's complained. That was the first thing I noticed on the 7550 when I got it, was none of that stuff was on, and Sean said I was hot. So as soon as I turned that on, it seemed to have fixed it, and I didn't make any other changes, so I've just been doing that with all my Motorola stuff, and it seems to work.
Yep, you're sounding good over here.
Yeah, you guys sound equal over here.
Here's Alpha Alpha 8 Whiskey Hotel, monitoring.
I was leaving room for Dave there. I don't know if we lost him or not, but go ahead.
Good afternoon. Alpha Alpha 8 Whiskey Hotel, name's Bill. And at the moment, I'm caught in traffic heading westbound on 94.
They're all coming over here. Seeing as I'm over here, I get 89 and 93, somewhere around there for the DBI.
All right. How's this sound? I'm on the 578 here.
I think you sound good.
Just wanted to make sure. I haven't been on this too much, and kind of interesting to listen to.
Yep, just giving you some numbers. Dakota, negative 78, and A8WH, you're negative 89. Everybody's doing good.
Don't worry, those numbers are going to dip as soon as they start heading north.
Do me.
Wally, you are negative 80 in Detroit.
Yep, on 23 mile line 94. Go ahead, Dakota.
Still cannot believe how well it works, and I hate myself for saying that yet again on the air, but it's pretty sweet that I don't really even have to touch the dial on this thing.
Yeah, I'm just giving you another number. Dakota negative 78, and I'm negative 74, so really good. Maybe the rain's helping.
Let's see if I got this. Dakota, if you're using your Motorola's, they got a really cool entitlement. RX auto leveling, that balances everything out, makes it all the same. So if somebody's blasting and somebody's coming in soft, it levels it all out. It's, that entitlement's worth the $5 if you don't have it. If you do have it, turn it on. The Alpha Station, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you out. W8 Victor Delta.
Let's see if I got it. Yeah, you guys are tempting me in getting a mobile Motorola, but I'm not in the market right now. I'll use this guy for right at the moment.
Dakota, you scared him all away, Dave.
Oh, I'm sure he got a phone call while he's driving.
Thanks for coming to the breakfast. Next one is the second Sunday in June.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I like showing up just to be present. You know, it's hard for me, though, with the kids. I got to entertain the kids. So, but, no, I enjoy going there. And I was hoping, like, Captain Don and such would show up, but I guess they sleep in.
I'm dragging my feet there and see if anybody else was in. Yeah, so I want to do it enough that everybody remembers, but far enough apart that it doesn't lose its enthusiasm. So I think every bi-monthly, that thing, it works out pretty good, and they're happy, and we seem to get a fairly decent-sized crowd there. So next time we're going to have to hold Dakota's hand. I got the kids' excuse. I said, well, Dave doesn't have a problem with that. So, Dakota, if you're back, go ahead. Not over to Dave. W83.
Hey, DBF, I'm back. Of course, I make it 5 minutes away from the office. I'm already getting phone calls.
Yeah, it's understandable of Dakota not being able to make it because I remember my kids being younger and they're so much a handful. It's not, you know, sometimes it's not worth the effort to get out and about. But when the kids get older, it gets a lot easier. But then it also gets a lot more expensive because you gotta, you know, imagine what your meal cost is times three.
You can have anything you want as long as it's Cheerios. Go ahead, Dakota.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, we took them out to dinner, and my God, we regretted our decision. They were smelling stuff, climbing under the table, smacking. They're just too young. And I was like, you need to take them out more. I'm like, yeah, you take them out more. Like, it's not worth it. I'm not spending $100 for a family of five to eat for me to be miserable. So once they get older, or if, you know, my wife's home and I can bring one or two of them, it'll be different, but all three is just too much, especially when it's just me.
You know, the grandkids are 5 and 7. I can manage them. They listen, and they know when you give them a timeout. They know what that means. 2-year-olds, they don't care. Got this.
Yeah, I always thought, you know, I've heard that from parents too. Take them out more. It's like we can't afford to take them out more. But you know, the fast restaurants are better. Like if you go to like Panera or things where the food comes fast, you eat fast and you leave fast. That's kind of like what you got to do with smaller kids. And it took us a while, me and my wife, before we wanted to go out to restaurants. We had, you know, and we had car seats at the time. And, you got to bring them in the car seat. So we used to do a lot of, like, just pick up, bring it home if we wanted to eat out. And but I do remember as a kid, we used to go out to restaurants all the time. I don't know why kids these days can't sit still. But It's just the way it is. Go ahead, Dakota.
They're getting better, but at no point to go through things like that. I don't know. They're just I refer to them as feral. And Wally, I heard you talk about entitlement key. I don't know exactly what you were saying, but something about auto noise leveling. I think I have it. I'm not positive. I'll double check. But speaking of Motorola's, what does the solid up arrow mean on the display when I'm not transmitting?
I don't know. I'll look at mine and I'll tell you. I'm not sure what that is. It's RX auto leveling. It's an entitlement. It's an option, but it's a cheap option. It's $5. And it works really, really well. So you don't have to mess with the volume on your radio. So if somebody comes in soft and somebody comes in blaring, it levels it out. What Dave said a little while ago was true. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to the auto audio that you receive on DMR. You know, it's like everybody's there, and, you know, some of these guys that get into it, like they blast you, and some of these guys that get into it, you can hardly hear them. And, you know, you have to kind of, like, try to correct them, you know, coddle them to get it right. So it's very finicky, the audio level. But if you get it right, it's pleasant. But it takes a while to get everybody at the same level. Dave, good.
Yeah, I'm going to make this one my last because I'm about to enter my sub and all that. You know, you try to be nice about it, and I know some people get insulted by telling them that their audio level is off, but there's no easy way to do it other than, like, test your levels and talk to the parrot and all that fun stuff. So, all right, I will listen. I have enough time to listen out, so I hand it over to Dakota, and I play 73 for now, KDF8S.
All right, Dave, good talking to you. Yeah, my wife makes fun of me because my sensitivity to, like, noises and audio, not like I'm like, oh, my God, noise, but it's like if it doesn't sound good or if it's an annoying squeak, like I swapped out those fans on the repeater. I don't like certain noises, so I'm always a freak about making sure my audio is dialed in as I can get it. So I will look for that entitlement key, Wally. But so far, this thing has completely blown my mind. I love it. I ended up ordering a new faceplate for it because this one's kind of scratched up. So it'll be mint, and I'm picking up my new truck on Monday, so I got to figure out an antenna solution for that. I don't know that I want to drill holes in the floor of a brand-new truck.
Very good. What do you got? You have an E or a 550E or 550 regular?
It's an E.
I got a faceplate.
For real? I just paid $170 for one.
Give me one for 70. Let me look at it. I'll send you a picture of it. I'm just pulled in the driveway, so I got to go let the dog out. She's got to go to the bathroom. She's having herself a meltdown in the window. So I'll send you a picture of it.
All right, sounds good. I don't even know if I can return the one I bought, though, so I might be screwed either way. All right, I appreciate it. NABDF.
That'll be our meeting. Hey, DMR.
Good afternoon. I was wondering if you were monitoring.
Yeah, actually, I don't know how I'm coming through. I'm on the Mount Clemens. Down in Warren, just pulled up to a lacrosse game and was about to get out, and it started pouring rain. So starts in another 9 minutes, so I'm trying to wait it out. Hopefully it blows over, but it's not looking too promising, so it might be a wet game.
Well, you sound great. And I remember that vividly. It seems like every freaking game, every practice, it was raining until it got, later into the season.
Yeah, it's kind of stinks, you know, driving almost an hour down here. And it was looking nice. It was looking kind of sunny when I was coming down. And like I said, I got in my parking spot and my mom ended up coming over to watch the little guy, so I didn't have to drag him out and all that, so that was nice, but wet, wet, wet. So I don't even think the towel I brought to dry my feet off is going to do any good.
If it's anything like northbound right now, I'm at 30 mile heading home, and the sun's peaking, and the rain's flowing, so hopefully that makes its way down to you, but the rain I just drove through, yeah, you're not, you're bring a rain suit.
Yeah, I'm definitely not prepared. So, other than that, I'm just kind of, it was a rough night last night at work. Got zero sleep and kind of just hung around today till I had to leave.
Were you guys running a lot of calls?
Yeah, it was, you know, they're all spaced like perfect. It was like, I think maybe just before midnight it started, and then right when we got back it was like 1:30, then like 3:30, then 5:30. So it was it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, you're not getting any sleep doing that. You get back and try to wind down, and then you got to jump into another call. That's a bummer. What's your schedule like this week? You at least got a couple, or this weekend, I should say. You got some time to recoup?
Yeah, I'm hoping. My last day is tomorrow, and then I'll be off, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but Saturday's got some another lacrosse game with some tailgate thing they're doing, and then I got to try to, if the rain holds off, get some stuff done around the house, and then I think he's got another game on Tuesday. So I think he's got like this week and next week, two games during the week and then a game on the weekend, so it's going to be busy.
All my friends with kids tell me the same thing. You just don't have much time to do anything. So, all right, I don't think this weekend's going to be that nice. So, we're going to say we got to get to a park and play some polo, but I think we still got a couple weeks before we can start planning on that.
Yeah, definitely. I was kind of, the other day, I was looking through my stuff, kind of getting it ready and getting it organized. Of course, that was when the weather was nice and probably jinxed it, you know, but I don't know. At least it's not freezing out. Just it's April, so kind of expecting the rain, just not this much, but it's, I don't know, we'll see. It's pretty nonstop and hectic from, March till June, and then I don't even try planning anything. I tell my cousins with camping and everything, like, wait till after June or end of May, and then I can gather my thoughts and no more school, no more lacrosse. And then start trying to have some fun in the summer.
That's really not even that bad, though, because the weather's not good until end of May anyway. You know what I mean? It's nicer. Like, for people like us, it's nicer. We go out and do stuff. Like, I can't wait to go turkey hunting this weekend, even though I'm probably going to get soaked. But the weather's not warm and camping lake-worthy, in my opinion, until end of May, early June.
Yeah, we don't usually do anything till maybe second week in June. You know, then we just kind of do something close, you know, the first little trip, kind of make sure everything's good before we start venturing out. But I think on that note, the rain actually started to lay up, and I got a couple, like 2 minutes into the bleachers. So I think I'm going to jump out and get over there and I'll try if you're on later in a couple hours on my way back home. But I'll listen out. It's K8PMR.
All right, man. Good luck. Stay warm. And, yeah, I'll be monitoring. I'll have a radio on scanning, so I'll catch you later. N8BBF.
N8WRO from N8HAP.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec.
KFAETQ, this is WARK. Hey, good afternoon, Darren. How are you? It's Dave, just a refresher. So, how are you this afternoon? Well, let's see. Hopefully, I've heard by you. KFAETQ, this is WARK returning. Good afternoon, Darren. How are you? It's Dave.
It's going good over here. How's it going over there?
Oh, not bad. Not bad at all. Just sitting here watching a couple YouTube videos and just buying some time. So, could be Friday tomorrow. Yeehaw! Not only payday, but weekend will be coming. So, what about yourself? What do you got planned for the weekend? Anything?
I might try to see if I can get my drone in the air over the weekend. I'm not sure if that's going to work or not going to work, though, with the weather.
Yeah, that's probably pretty true, because I think I heard, well, I don't know, it depends how it's going to be, so I think it's on and off for possible rain, so maybe it'd be cloudy, but I always kind of joke that, yes, the best times that antennas work very efficiently are the times to put them up in the most inclement weather that you can find. So, I don't know, Darren, you might have to wait till maybe, I don't know, mid-November when we get some high winds again, or maybe February when we get some blizzard conditions. But what kind of antenna is this that you're going to be putting up? I've got to think about getting another HF antenna up because this upcoming weekend is the Michigan QSO party on HF. It's basically a contest for the state of Michigan to contact other states and then other counties and then try to get as many as you possibly can. But it's for Michigan residents, well, Michigan hams. But I got to think about getting another HF antenna up pretty quick.
No, I didn't say HF antenna. I was talking about an unmanned aerial vehicle. I wanted to see if I can get that in the air and fly that for a little while. Trying to figure out the RF with that and verify that the two frequencies that I'm using do not collide enough that it's going to actually become a problem. I'll figure that out, I guess, as things go.
Okay, I did misunderstand it, yes. Yeah, I've got a Brown and I got to see about getting up sometime here. And, you know, I was thinking, Darren, it would be kind of nice if we could maybe get it so that way we could fly them for a bit longer. I actually think it would be kind of interesting if you could use drones to support wires for a form of a beam antenna that you could then rotate, maybe use Wi-Fi to control the drones and which direction they're aiming. But I think that would be kind of cool. Just have one drone to extend the coax or something up to it, and then you can just fly them up and have them aimed in any direction you want. But yeah, I've got to get mine up. I got a cheap one that I picked up on Amazon for $40, so I'm gonna see about just doing the same thing too at some point in time. Hopefully, some nice weather, just raise it up, let it do a 360, and see what kind of images it gets for resolution and such.
Heard about people throwing or using a drone to get an antenna up there in the air. I've heard that particularly with mesh chastic, because with mesh chastic, as high as you can get it up in the air is the most ideal. So they will put those up very, very high, and then they'll get across their whole county direct to them and a little bit more sometimes. But yeah, with HF on paper you could. I just don't know how much airtime you're going to have and if that's even really worth it. My kind of a little bit of curiosity question part of it is the motors. Those are AC motors on there in the drone, at least the ones that I have in my drone. So they are producing sine waves of some sort, maybe, that might interfere with an antenna. I'm not certain on that one, though.
Yeah, that's a good point there as far as that goes. It probably would depend on the circuitry as far as how they're controlling it, whether they've engineered it well, which I would probably say is probably not the case. It's probably engineered with what's relatively cheap. So if it's done that way, so it's engineered cheaply, it's probably going to be more eligible and for producing some noise for the antenna. Yeah, that's a good point there. Depends on how much, but who knows? Might be able to do some filtering for it, but I don't know. Just a thought.
With images, though, when you were talking about images, putting up your drone and seeing how the images are and that come back down, I already know the drone that I'm going to put up in the air is just going to be standard definition. It's not even going to be anything fancy. It might be 480i at best. Maybe it's 480p. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely not really holding off for anything, you know, 4K or anything like that for this drone, because I paid Amazon $40 for it. So just like I was talking about, you know, you do kind of get, in a lot of cases, not all the time, but you do a lot of times get what you pay for. But sometimes you get the opposites, the extremes and all that here. But I don't know, I have to see here, play around some more. And then I think I said two for Theta. So I can't remember what antenna, or I'm sorry, what radio you said SDR you were using again here. But that is pretty interesting. I'm kind of thinking Dayton's coming up, and I've been toying with the idea of getting for another HF radio for myself here at home, getting a SDR radio, like the Flex radio or something. Just toying with it. So I'm thinking hopefully that Thetis would go along with it. I haven't downloaded it yet. Is that suitable then with, you know, obviously it's not going to have the features that you would use for transmission, but is that pretty suitable for using it just as a general receiver for an SDR radio?
Yeah, I like the Thetis application with my Hermes Lite radio that I have. The Hermes Lite is like 300, maybe 400 bucks, I don't remember. A lot cheaper than that Flex radio, where the starting price for those is in the 2000s, if you're getting like the oldest model they have on their site. Maybe it's cheap. It's probably cheaper if you can buy one secondhand. I'm not sure of that. But I don't necessarily think the Thetis would work with the Flex radio. That's just a guess, though, because I've not heard about... I don't know if they have one of those Flex radios to play around with or not.
And then what kind of power output do you get with that? Because I have one similar. I've got the Hack RF1, which, though I think it's got the output, and I haven't really done so much with any transmission with it, but I think the output's basically micro or milliwatts, relatively very, very low. So you have to build an amplifier and filtering for anything with any kind of substantial output power for, you know, like use on the ham bands and such. But I've still been playing on for the past few years with the RTL SDR, and I've got a couple others, but still really, it's what I've been doing mainly. I've kind of, let's say, taken a little hiatus from ham radio, and I've been doing a lot with reception and that. Just experimenting and listening to areas of the spectrum that I hadn't had access to before. And I got to get my cell phone gear. I picked up crowdfunded. I got the Discovery Dish, which would allow me to listen to Inmarsat satellites. And I'm going to see if I can get a little bit more of the one. Well, I'd only hear the one-way communication on the one frequency band that I would be able to listen in on. But I'm going to see about listening to some of the aero traffic from pilots as they, generally, I'm assuming this would be if they're crossing the Atlantic. I think they call it CPDLC. Excuse me. So I'm going to see how well this small satellite dish works. It's roughly about, I don't know, three foot in radius or so. You know, pretty small, but I guess... seems like it would do pretty good from what I've seen from the various reviews. Well, back to you, Darren. W-A-R-I-T.
The Hermes Lite 2, or whatever the heck the full name is, that radio does do transmit, and it does it at 5 watts output power, which is enough to get through, or to be fed as an input to a normal 100-watt amplifier. Because the 100-watt amplifiers, from what I've seen, usually take 5 watts in to produce the 100-watt output. And I think it would be interesting to see how it performs. I'm not really certain, though.
Okay. I wasn't aware that it would output that much power. Interesting. I might have something else I'm going to have to window shop on, Darren. But, yeah, I've been doing mostly, they say, with the SDR, just reception. And, trying to see if I can determine what some other various digital modes I hear around the spectrum are and such. Sometimes, I haven't had too much success trying to do any decoding with SCANAG. I think I've only got a couple frequencies for the, I think it was the French Navy. But other than that, it's kind of hard for me to tell. I've got to learn more because it's kind of hard for me to tell Do I have the settings and configuration correct to be able to decode it? Or, even if I have done so properly, are they just encrypting it, encoding it, so that way I would be able to read it, which from what I read at, from some of the other online sources seem to suggest that some are encrypted, so you wouldn't be able to determine what they're actually sending. So it's kind of hard for me when I don't know if I'm actually getting them correctly, if I have everything set right. So that's another part I'm trying to learn on a little bit more for getting some good decoding from when I hear them on the radio.
This is QO Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango. What you were talking about, though, with the, I can't remember what it's called, automatic link establishment. From what I've understood, the military does, majority of theirs is encrypted, at least that you might be able to find the public frequencies for. From what I've heard, they do some things unencrypted sometimes, but usually that's by accident. And I'm pretty sure majority of the other larger groups that do ALE also do the encryption, with the only exception being the ham community, because I think the ham community is not allowed to use encryption from what I have understood. But you can use automatic link establishment within the ham radio bands themselves, too. Once again, this is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec.
Okay, yeah, I've done a little bit of ALE before. I don't think I've got a working program. I got PC ALE, and then I had an older version, which I don't think works anymore, on another laptop for Mars ALE when I was years back with operating with U.S. Navy Marine Corps Mars. But they've since folded the tents up for that. But might have to see about either checking out either Army or Air Force Mars coming up here, playing with that idea too as well. But no, what I was referring to was another form called STANAG, and I think they do it more for bulletins, and I think the French Navy, from what I've been able to pick up, have been doing it for weather, basically. I've got a few ALE decodes. I've even picked up a network that I've discovered from another online source for, like, some Algerian oil fields and such. But usually if I do anything with ALE, it's been a while, but I've listened to COSIN, you know, the Customs Over the Horizon Enforcement Network, which you can pick up, you know, quite a bit of various sources. It could be usually operating in the Caribbean, I'm assuming, for drug surveillance and such coming into the country. But you listen to everything from the Coast Guard to DEA to the Navy destroyers or something, you know, all operating in harmony with it. But been a while since I've done any of that. But there's some others. Like I said, I've been trying to figure out just what type of digital mode it actually is. So there's quite a few that I've got some recordings on. So, Darren, for your Hermes Light radio, getting tongue-tied here, do you use it more or less for, ham radio transmission, or do you do anything else with any kind of reception?
I mostly just do reception with it, and I will largely, when I leave it at home, I usually end up leaving it at home, listening on the ST8 on probably four different bands, because I think I found out that it can tune into four different bands, and have ST8 working on all four bands at the same time. I've also received, I think it's a 4.84 WWCR. I've listened in on that one. I have heard what I think might be the Vatican radio at 7.305, I think it is. Not sure if it even was them. But, I've listened in on other things.
I'm sorry, Darren, could you try that again? Something didn't work quite right there, because I didn't get any audio, and then your color code seemed that time to be way off. It was something like 255, so not certain what had happened there, but could you please repeat again, Darren? W-8-R-I-T.
Okay, I'm trying again. I do listen in on other programs outside, or other stations outside of the ham radio bands. The WWCR, which is 4.84 megahertz, I listened to that one. And I've also listened to, I believe it is, the Vatican Radio at 7.305.
Okay, very good. That's kind of how I cut my teeth on the hobby here, shortwave broadcast listening, back when I was a young boy and such. Okay, it's been a little while since I've heard stations, especially Vatican Radio. It's pretty sparse now as far as what I, from what I used to recall, but there's still stations out there. I don't really all the time listen to domestic shortwave. I try to get foreign, English-speaking, unless they're playing music or something, which really doesn't matter for speech. But usually I like to hear news and such, but it's getting pretty far and few and in between here, but there's still some stations out there. Recently, I think one of the stronger stations that I picked up quite frequently would be for Radio Romania. So there's still some opportunities out there, but I sure wish it was a lot stronger than it used to be here. What I tend to use mostly for my SDRs, I use SDR console. What I was thinking too, Aaron, would you be interested? I don't know if you can remember. Maybe shoot me an email, and I can send you a copy. I think it's probably a comma delimited file, that you could use possibly for frequency resources. I've got quite a few in here. Not everything's current. There's some that I have in here just for reference and that, but got some shortwave broadcasting and utility stations, so got quite a bit in here, so, and I'm still adding more. But just some of the areas I've been experimenting in, listening outside of what I normally had been able to. I remember being as a young boy, I remember looking at scanner radios and had to program maybe 20 channels, and I'm thinking, boy, that's a super cool radio. And now look at where we're at here with the SDRs and that. Exceptional frequency range. Basically DC is the daylight, truly. Anyways, back to you, Darren, W8RIT. This is W8RIT, waiting for our IFA-ETQ to return.
N8DVF.
N8DVF, W8RIT. Good afternoon, Dakota. Sounding pretty good.
Good afternoon. I haven't talked to you in a while. How you been? W8RIT from N8DVF. Did I lose you?
Nope. Didn't hear you respond. Anyways, I'm just sitting here replying back to a couple emails and just putzing around at the desk in the shack here. So what are you up to yourself?
All doing the same. About to get ready for bed here in a little bit and kick off Friday and hopefully my weekend early tomorrow.
Yep, I'm eagerly anticipating the weekend myself. It hasn't been too bad of a work week. It's actually been pretty pleasant. I actually enjoyed it, to be honest with you. But we'll see if I can get another intent up here. I should be doing that right now currently, though, but I'm procrastinating. But to get another intent up, the weekend's supposed to be for the Michigan QSO party.
What are you trying to get up? And I did not realize that was this weekend. I'm glad I've got my wire in the air.
A few weeks back, I had my dipole come back down, so I'm just going to put up another one here that I've constructed. Pretty simple. I'm going to, I got to see if I get in the slingshot out so I can shoot up the line up over the tree here again because I lost that. And I'm going to kind of make it a little bit longer this time. I'm going to see about if I can get it. Should be fine with not crossing any power lines, so I'm safe in that regard. But I've asked my neighbor, and he's good with it, and I'm probably going to use the tree in his front yard. So I don't have one in my front yard, so I'm going to see if I'm lengthening it. And he said he would be fine with it here. So
Yeah, it's going to be this upcoming weekend. I haven't participated in the Michigan QSO party in a few years now, so got to get back into it and make some noise here, you know? But I should be participating in a lot of the other state QSO parties, because it's kind of one of the side aspects that I enjoy. A collection, I guess you could put it, of counties. I think there's just over 3,000 counties, and I think I've contacted that I've been able to log probably roughly around 1,200. So I've got a little ways to go.
You know, I've participated a handful of times, and I don't know if I've ever logged anything for the contest. I've just logged it in QR.
Well, I'm going to say this to you, and just don't take this the wrong way, Dakota, but that's kind of like nails on a chalkboard to me. not logging the contacts like that. It's okay. I've had it before since I had another friend say, hey, it's even worse because a lot of times, especially like QRP CW operators, a lot of times they'll just log 40 meters, you know, and just, you know, 40 meter CW and let it go at that. You know, I like to do some collecting like that too as well. In years past, I have checked in a few times to the, I don't think they run it anymore, but they had a county hunter's net. But I kind of shied away after a while because, a lot of times I could tell that people were getting my call sign incorrect, that I could actually tell that was incorrect. And they very much had frowned upon the usage of ITU phonetics. They would chastise you for one time for doing it. So I just kind of, okay, I'm not going to participate with that. I'll go just do the state QSO parties. But it's also nice to support others as you would like to have them support you making contacts and that. One of these years, I'm going to have to see about hopefully getting a clean sweep. Not so much to be nice for the states, but I'll tell you, it would certainly be nice to do something for the counties, because there's 83 counties in Michigan, and I still don't have all 83 of them. So I'm going to see if I can maybe hopefully pay attention for some of the mobiles. And I've got to go back and review some from the website, maybe some of the plans for who's going to be mobile. Got quite a few up in the UP, so that's not my weak part. I think I've contacted some other stations that have been mobile in the UP in years past. So I think it's mostly northwestern Michigan is where a lot of the counties are at that I need to collect here myself. Anyways, back to you there, Dakota. Oh. By the way, too, Dakota, I want to make mention to you. I'll toss it back to you, but remind me about the, I think it was the 4550. But anyways, back to you, Dakota. NADBF, W8RIT.
When you're logging for the Michigan QSO party, I'm assuming this is mainly 40 and 80, probably mainly 80. Are you using a separate software? It's probably a separate log. I don't know. I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to these contests. I don't do a lot of contesting. I pretty much pull it out or just screw around dialing around on the band. So when I hand it back to you, let me know that, and then go ahead and ask away on the 4550.
Okay, Dakota, I'm sorry I didn't get any of that. I could see that you were transmitting, but it was just pulsing, I guess, on the display, and I showed your color code was like 255. But I didn't get any of that. Could you please repeat?
That's weird because I'm looking at the dashboard and I only had 0.2% loss, so I don't know what that was about. I was just saying, I'm assuming it's a different log, so what are you using to log the contest? Because I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to that. And then go ahead and ask away on the 4550.
Well, I don't use any contesting software. I probably should try that out sometime. I think what the heck are contesting software programs are. I think I got a couple downloaded. But what I use primarily for my HF contacts, well, I do something like 6 meter and some VHF and UHF simplex. You know, I don't log like repeater contacts or anything like that. But what I use is from the software is called. What's that? There's a software.
hold on a minute. Forgot what the software is called here, Dakota. It operates with DX Lab Suite as the overall software package. But the software for the logging is called DX Keeper. It's primarily for if you're going after various awards, you know, Worked All States, DXCC, anything along those lines. You know, have stuff for entering and filtering for POTA, things of that nature too as well. But I generally use that, but it's not really designed primarily for contesting. But that's something I'd like to suggest to you if you do anything with that. You can start off as simple as you like, but it does quite a bit with the other various software programs that run along with it, dependent on how you want to operate. For example, there's another software program that's for basically digital modes, some digital modes like RTTY and PSK31, and it will interoperate with the other software packages in this overall suite. There's another software program with it called Spot Collector. I don't know if you know about DX Spots, but there's like packet clusters that hams would notify others through the internet, basically, of various DX stations that they are hearing currently, you know, listing the frequencies and such. So you can see that compiled from various sources simply, and it will help you filter for your personal logbook on who you want to work to achieve more awards, you know, so you get one more country or one more state. Let me see here. Let me know, Dakota, if you could sometime, just nothing to rush or urgent, but shoot me an email. It's my call sign, WARIT. Let me see if I got it here. I was about ready to time out. It does appear I have it. Let me repeat it, but I'd like to know, Dakota, if you could kindly send me an email. It would be my call sign, WARIT, at yahoo.com. Just like to talk with you a little more on the 4550, I think you were making mention talk of price and such. Then maybe if you could let me know what you have with it and what I might need to buy with it. For example, I think you were making a mention you have to be cautious, for example, like some radios might come with a power cord, for example. So just like to maybe firm up some more about that, because I'm kind of interested. I think you were discussing about selling the radio, so I'm kind of interested in it.
I was wondering what that noise was. I think you did time out, or the repeater might have timed out. I don't know. Anyway, I sent you an email. And the 4550, so K8RUH and I had a little deal worked out where I was going to get this 4550 in exchange for an XPR 7550 that I bought. But then I ended up buying a 5550E, so I didn't have any use for the 4550. So that's going back to him, and then he's buying the 7550 off of me. But depending on what you're trying to spend, I mean, if you shoot me an email with a budget or you're okay telling me with a budget, there are plenty of 4550s for the pickings on eBay, and they're all in great shape. Or if you wanted to jump up, there's plenty of 5550s on eBay, but those cost a little bit more. So it really just kind of depends on what budget you're trying to land in. But as far as 4550s, there's tons out there. Same with 7550s if you're looking for an HD.
Okay. I think that might have been my timeout timer. I think it was like a 10-second announcement beforehand, so I don't know if I timed it out. Still learning here. Okay. That'll be okay, too. I didn't know that you'd already did something differently. But, yes, if you would still let me know. I'd like to find out more about it, yes, because I think from what you were telling me, that was quite a bit less than I was anticipating for some of the radios. So I'd have to see, you know, what the pricing on each of these would be for buying them used and such, you know, online.
I say, I'm thinking, you know, they would have started off, you know, maybe like $800 or something. I'm thinking, well, I didn't really necessarily want to spend $800 on a UHF DMR mobile to begin with, you know. So, like you were saying, they're, you know, considerably cheaper than that. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, that opens up another avenue then. So, you know, keep on taking a look and, you know, seeing what's out there, out and about and available here, and then maybe once I'm looking, see if I have any other questions on what I'm reading for the various listings.
N8VF. Yeah, I can send you a couple of listings, or if you just go on eBay, type in Motorola XPR4550. Just make sure you're getting a UHF R1, and most of them list the frequency range of 403 to 470, and they're 40-watt radios. So that's really the main thing to look out for. I don't know what you're looking to spend, but I'm looking at a new inbox. It's an open box, but it's still in the packaging for $387.50 or best offer with free shipping. So they're not too crazy. You can get a used one for about $199, but then you're going to be in it for possibly a microphone, so there's $50, and possibly a power cord, so there's another $10-$15. So then you start getting closer and closer to that $387 price, and I bet you if you offer this guy $350, he would take it. And then the programming cables, they're not too bad. They're $20 to $30 on Amazon. But then you're off to the races, and you got yourself a UHF DMR rig.
And W8RT, yes. And having one that's better than operating extra class portable, as I am currently doing. HT, which, well, it's specified at 10 watts, if you're getting the full 10 watts. And then the rubber ducky antenna. So having a mobile with more power and a better antenna would certainly help out quite a bit more. Even that other one for 387 is not bad, Chris. I thought a lot of the Motorola radios, especially the mobiles, would have started off, you know, $600, $700, $800 or something, which is what I thought, but I guess not. So even something like that, you know, kind of within range of what I'm looking at, basically. I don't know if I really have a budget per se, but I would say probably $600 would be the top end that I would not want to spend for a UHF DMR mobile. What else did I make mention? There was something else that I was going to comment on, but I'll see if I can recall it next go around here.
Yeah, if you want to spend that much money, you can get into, like, a new condition XPR 5550E. So, again, it really depends on what you're looking for. My advice would be go on eBay.
Yeah, I would concur from what I know and from what I might say were much, much better than, I'd probably say, than anything you can get on the amateur radio community, just because they're commercial, basically, and, you know, I think, generally speaking, they're much more engineered for tighter specs, basically. So, that's another nice feature about that. Car. A little bit more. Kind of bad, so. He did actually have a Motorola CB one time, which was pretty nice. 23-channel, though. Oh, I was going to say, that means would just go on and create an account with Motorola to be able to download it. Is the software same? Is the same dependent on the various models, 4550, 5550, or is the software work on all of the above?
I'm not sure if you're moving around or not, or if your HT is dying, but you were starting to get pretty bad on that one. You were picket fencing. I'm looking at the dashboard here, you're like a negative 122 with anywhere from 4 to 12% loss. So I'm not sure what's going on there. I did hear most of it though. I'm not sure. I don't know. You don't have a mobile or anything at this point, I don't think. I think that's what I heard. So you can get yourself into an antenna situation very, very cost effectively as well. I just switched out some of my setup on both trucks. And I think I did it for less than $40 for a mag mount and a UHF antenna. So that's a pretty negligible cost as well if this is the route you're going to go.
Well, the mobile that I have, well, I've got a few of them, but the mobile I've been using in the work van is just a dual band analog. So, I say it would be nice to get something for DMR and possibly a second one. You know, have one for the home use as well, too. Something I can use at home as well as in the work van. I was asking about the software, that the software would work on all of the models of the Motorola's. I think Tom said you need to sign up with Motorola on their website to create an account to download it.
That is true to an extent, but it's not like you just sign up and they give you what you want. Like, I had to sign up as a business, and then it takes a couple of days. They've got it kind of locked down. That being said, it's not that bad. You just got to wait. And if you do end up with a radio, I have all the software, so I can send that over to you, as well as a link to the programming cable I use that I know works. So that's kind of a non-issue. And, man, I wish you were looking for analog radios. I got two of them I got to get rid of.
Well, what do you got as far as analog that you're looking to sell?
I've got an FPM-150 RASP that I'm looking to move for a smoking deal, and then I'm on the fence about selling my ICOM 2730 that's in an Armalock bag, but I don't know that I'm going to get rid of that one because I don't think I'm going to get what I want for it.
Yeah, it's been a while since I purchased my 2720, which is a predecessor, but I think they were running, I think it's probably brand new, probably for the 2730, probably about the same thing, probably almost, well, just shy of 400 or so. So it depends on the quality and, you know, as far as if they look like they're beat up, et cetera. And I think you're making mention that you like to keep yours pretty pristine and such. Well, I have to think about the 2730. And what was the other one? FTM-1 RAS. I assume that I'm pretty certain that's a Motorola model, but I can't really say I know too much about that radio. Can you tell me just a little bit more? Is it dual band, single band?
So the first one's a Yaesu FTM-150R ASP is the technical terminology for it. What it has is, I think it's called, something signal processing. I got to look it up. Long story short, it's got like a noise canceling, like some kind of built-in filter to where if someone's coming in noisy, it'll clean it up and pull the noise out and then amplify the audio. So it sounded gimmicky, but it actually works pretty darn good. So that one's just a dual band analog only with a detachable phase. It's got the speaker in the head. And then the other one is a 2730B, Bravo. So that's the blackface one that just came out, I think, last year. Absolutely love that thing. That's why I said I'm on the fence about getting rid of it because it's in a bag. It's in an Armalock. That's what I ran with for the last couple months. I'm jumping in and out of different vehicles, and it's done a phenomenal job. I'm getting a new truck on Monday, so I pulled the 150 out of my truck, and that one was getting replaced with the Motorola that's in a bag anyway, so now that one's kind of collecting dust.
Well, the issue I probably would skip, the ICOM I'd have to kind of think about. Not bad, I'd have to see kind of too what the, probably not too much as far as any differences. I think from when you and I were talking before, my ICOM 2720 does not have alphanumeric channels displays, I guess you could put it, for the channels, and I think yours does, the 2730. Blackface, yeah, it's just the color of the display. I think yours is just a little bit more modern. I think mine is just either yellow or amber LCD, so that's probably a little bit nicer. I don't know. I'm going to guess that the power output is probably going to be the same, and the number of channels doesn't really matter. I've been kind of cleaning up my program, I mean, SERP for my 2720, because I was making mention to you before that I can't keep track without the alphanumeric display on the radio very easily what is what for some of the less popular channels that I use on it. So I got to clean it up and delete it, you know, delete some channels, et cetera, add some others, and then print off a list that I can keep with me. Which won't be quite as easy as having it right there on the display. So
Let me ask you, I don't know if you want to get into it, just toss me a monetary value that you're estimating, and I won't hold you to it, but what are you kind of thinking of for what you want to get for the 2730?
I do remember you telling me that you have a printed list of your channels. I still can't tell you that they released a radio that didn't have alphanumeric channel naming. But yeah, I think from the 2730, 2730B, it's the same exact radio, just different display head, 525 and 45 on UHF, 50 on VHF. And I don't know. So it's got the head. You know how ICOM is. Nothing comes with it, right? So I bought the mount so the head can mount to the body, and then it is in an Armalot cage. So to give you an idea of what I have into it. So I truly don't know a number. Like I said, I've been on the fence about it. I have to figure it out because it was built out as a little man pack. It is 100% geared towards portable operations. It's got a Dakota Lithium 7.5-hour battery. So basically you can just bring that thing with a Magnum anywhere you go and plop it down and you're on the air. So I would have to think about it, and I can shoot you an email with a little bit more detail and maybe a price, or I can shoot you an email with my number. We can discuss it off air too, but I do like that radio a lot. That's why I've been hemming and hawing about it. But the FTM-150, 100% selling it. I understand you're not a Yaesu guy. I'm not either. But if anyone's listening, 275, it's yours. Hit me up on QRZ.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of everything, but I am, I guess you could kind of put it, you know, like how some people are, you know, Ford, GM, et cetera. So I am probably a little bit more of a ICOM guy as far as that goes. Probably just because that was the first radio I got, ICOM, so I just read the manual and you kind of get used to how the various functions operate. So other radios from that same manufacturer kind of make sense, I guess you could say, but I'm not really privy to having other types of radios and that. But something else that I can make mention about that, what was it, about the 2730? Oh, so, I think my 2720, I think the display head clips basically right in to the radio body itself. So the 2730, I think you need to put like a small bracket to the mount, and then the mount or the head kind of attaches to that, so it doesn't really attach directly to it, I think. Okay. Well, anyways, yeah, let me know about that, Dakota, if you decide on if you want to get rid of it or not. I'm not really asking any heavy need for it or anything like that. It would just be an option, you know, something else to have. But I got Dayton coming up, but I'm looking at some of the other radios and doing some window shopping, but haven't really found anything that's, like, really grabbing me, you know. Talking with Darren earlier today and told him I've been kind of putting it up in the air for getting a flex radio for SDR. I was, you know, just looking at the ICOM, what is it, the 7300 Mark II, and it's like, well, nice, but I don't know what it would really do for me as far as any kind of other features and such. You know, I do already have some other HF rigs. Wouldn't mind, you know, upgrading and get something a little bit more modern, but what I have works, and sometimes the bells and whistles don't really get used as often as you really think, so that made me kind of just some things to play around with, you know, upcoming for Dayton here, so that I ask my time off. Well, Dakota, I'm going to let you go. I'll listen out for your comment. I'm getting a little bit hungry here, so I'm going to go about making some dinner and sitting down and putting the feed bag on. So I'll toss it back to you, sir, and talk with you later. W-A-R-I-T.
All right. You copy me now? I didn't get any of the tail end of that.
Yes, I hear you now. I was basically just saying put the feed bag on, go cook some dinner, so I'm going to let you go Dakota for now, and I'll talk with it later, and I'll review, and we'll talk radio some more later on, I guess. So have a great evening. We'll talk with you later, Dakota. W-A-R-I-T.
N8DBS, anyway.
NERC, this is Kilo, Fox 8, Alpha Tango Charlie, calling.
N1WHT, listening.
N1WHT, this is November 6th, Whiskey Yankee, N6WY, calling.
Testing out a new radio here. We've got the Radio Oddity here. Set up the DMR station here and having a go at it. Hopefully it's functioning as I expect it to.
Well, it sounds good here. And I just wonder how I sound with my new radio, 890. In fact, I'm writing up a code plug for it right now. And I've got a very limited one in there. And it's getting bigger. It's getting out of hand, the cold plug that is. And pulling my hair out, trying to keep it all straight. The GPS, when I make a change, insert a talk group or something, change a talk group name, it scrambles it all. So I have to go back and unscramble it. But otherwise, you sound good, and no problem hearing you. How am I doing?
You are, I guess, full quality. Your signal's awesome. I'll say that. Yeah, the CPS software, it takes getting some used to it. I'm still new to it as well. I've played a little bit with Motorola's version of that, I guess. It kind of reminds me of that for the XTS radios. But even that's all confusing, lots of options, and trying to understand how to get all the stations in, get everything set up correctly. And then on top of it, learn the new interface with the radio and how to navigate it. So I'm also just stepped out of work, so I'm going to start making my way home. So we'll see how this this translates as I make my way home.
All right, are you mobile now? I'm not running full pot over the handy talkie in my computer room, but it's not the most friendly for this repeater. If I was upstairs, I have no problem hitting this repeater. I'm using the Mount Clemens repeater, and it works out great for me. So I am going to sign with you a little bit, but yeah, I need to get going, and maybe somebody else can pick you up so you can. Yeah, it works out on the way home. This is N6WY.
I just started driving, so I'll say 7-3, and I'll catch up with you again sometime soon. I'm on the Grand Rapids repeater, I believe. So I'll be on this, checking out more as I begin to program the radio more. So 7-3, have a good evening, and talk to you soon.
All right, 7-3, talk to you later. This is N6WY clear.
1WHT clear and listening.
WABD is mobile.